Hi listeners, we are continuing on in our messages of building up of the body of Christ so they can come into their full maturity of Christ and fulfill their God-given plans and destiny for their lives. Now, God wants for them to focus on different things as they come into this place. He's moving them in areas that they need to be built up. That's how we come into the maturity of Christ, is God takes us and He builds us up in different areas in our lives so that we can come into the full maturity of Christ. So we can have the knowledge of God will increase in our hearts, that we will have a deep relationship with the Lord and we will begin to see God the way He is. And as He builds us up in this realm of knowing God and growing in Christ and coming to know Him in a deep and intimate way so that we are changed and transformed to His image, and we become the carriers of the Lord Jesus Christ to this fallen world. It takes time and it takes many steps for us to come into these realms. We don't come into these realms in just overnight. It takes time, it takes perseverance, it takes faith, and God leads us to these realms as we grow up into Him, so we can fulfill our destiny in Christ. And God wants us to focus on different things as He leads us into these realms. And today's message is on focusing on the greatness of God, His goodness, His mercy, His power, His might. A lot of times when we have a tendency to get caught up seeing what is going around us in this world, we see so many negative things, so much evil, so much wickedness, and so many bad things that are going around. And if we focus our eyes on these things and not on God's greatness, we have a tendency to get negative and lose our focus and the fire that we have for God. And it is easy to do that, because we live in a real world and this world is evil and so many things are going on that is not of God. Satan is doing his best to keep the people of God off focus so that he can keep them discouraged and keep them from coming into their destiny in Christ. Now he's working hard at doing that, and we have to work just as hard to keep our focus on God, because if not, then we can be like the rest of the world and be filled with negative thoughts and be angry and upset and fearful like the rest of the world. People in the world that are not saved, you can see that. They are angry, they are hateful, they are bitter, and they are always complaining and never content with anything. They don't have thankful hearts. They are prideful, they are arrogant, they're lawless, godless. So if you look at that scene in the world as a believer, you can be discouraged in the things that are going around you. So that's the reason in this message, God wants us to focus on Him. Even if we live in a fallen and a messed up world, God sees things differently. God has a total different perspective of everything that is going on. Yes, the world is full of evil and corruption and deprivation, but God is working through all that, all of the hatred and the lawlessness and the godlessness and unbelief and all of this that we see out there in the world. God is still at work. He has not lost His power. He has not lost His focus. He still knows what He's doing, and He is still accomplishing His will in this world. So God is saying to the people of God, focus on His greatness. And as we focus on His greatness, our faith will grow and it will flourish, and we will be able to see God at work, and we begin to see who God is and what He's doing, and it changes our own perspective of what is around us. even if it's bad, we have the faith to know it's not going to continue that way, because God is going to come on the scene and change things, because he has the power to do so. So let's go into the scriptures, and I want to take Psalms 19, starting from verse 1. It says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands." Now, God wants us to put that focus on the greatness of God. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. The next verse. "Day after day, they pour forth speech." See, the very creation speaks to us of the glory of God, of the greatness of God. Focus on that. "Night after night, they display knowledge." All we have to do is to take a good look at God's creation and to see the glory of God, the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God being displayed before our very eyes. See, what he's doing is he's taking our focus off of these worldly things and putting it on him. He's the only one we should focus on, him and his kingdom. Moving down, "There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the earth. In the heavens, he has pitched a tent for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his pavilion, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is hidden from its heat." Now, this is talking about God's creation. He said, did you think about the sun? I mean, nobody tells the sun to when to come up and when to go down. It does it on its own. Why? Because God has already set it that way. God set it that way when he created the heavens and the earth and placed the sun and the moon and the stars. And they know exactly what they're supposed to do. By paying attention to this, we see the glory of God at work. Nobody has to remind the sun to come up and go down. No, it does what it's supposed to do. God has already set that in motion. Continue on. "The law of the Lord is perfect." The words that comes out of God is perfect, reviving the soul. "The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul." God's laws, his word, his instruction is perfect. It revives our soul. That's the reason we need to pay attention and read and study and meditate the word of God, because it revives our souls. It strengthens our souls. It encourages us and builds us up. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. "The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy." Everything that God's word says, the direction that he gives us, is trustworthy. It's going to put you on a firm foundation. It has been proven time and time again. "Making wise the simple." His statutes make the wise simple. "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." God's precepts, those instructions that he gives us, guidelines he gives us, they bring joy to our heart. Why? Because they are perfect, they are pure. And if a person keeps them, they will experience the joy of the Lord. When we keep God's word, his statutes, his commands, it brings the joy of the Lord into our heart and fills our heart with such joy, because that's the joy he feels. God is full of joy. Joy is a spiritual force, part of who God is. And whenever we keep God's statutes, we are receiving that joy that is in his heart. He's sharing that joy and showing us that he approves and he's happy and he's joyful in the way that we are following him. It brings joy to his heart, and as a result, we feel that joy, and our hearts are full of joy of the Lord. "The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes." God's commands keep us in the light, in walking in the light. When we follow his commands, we are walking in the light, and our eyes are full of light and not darkness. So we can discern what is right from wrong. Moving on. "The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever." The fear of the Lord is to have awe and respect out of deep love for God. It's not to be afraid of God, because God is our Father. He doesn't want us to be afraid of Him. That's not the fear of God. The fear of God is reverence for God. But the Bible also says the fear of the Lord keeps us from sinning. Moving on. The ordinances of the Lord are sure and altogether righteous. God's commands, God's statutes, God's ways are always righteous. If a man follows His ways, His word, then he's going to be a righteous person. A person that always does what is right. They are more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the comb. This is the great value God puts on those that walk in His ways and appreciates God and His ways, His word, His very character, very nature, and appreciates His creation and see His greatness in their hearts. These things are more precious than gold. You cannot put a price tag on that. A person that has this kind of wisdom and knowledge of God, there's no price tag to that. It doesn't compare. Most valuable things on this earth will not come anywhere near in value in the person that have this kind of knowledge of God, because it transcends what this earthly world knows. And therefore, the person that is walking in this kind of knowledge, they're full of wisdom and knowledge. They're full of joy and peace and contentment. And they're fulfilled. And they love God with all their heart, their soul, and their mind, and their strength. And they have that purpose that God has for them deeply rooted in their hearts. And they are motivated by that purpose. And they know where they're heading. And they know the reason why they're here. Moving on. By them, your servant is warned. The commands and the precepts that we keep in God's word, the Bible says, by them your servant is warned. When we are walking in this kind of absolute submission to His word and His will, we are warned of evil things. We are warned of evil times, because God protects His people. Because we are living under the shelter of the shadow of the Almighty when we do that. And He sees things to come, and He protects His people. And that's the reason that we need to focus on these things the scripture is showing us. And going back, it says, verse 11, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. In keeping God's ways, His word, there is great reward. God rewards those who follow His word, always. God will always honor that. He will always reward that. Who can discern his errors, forgive my hidden faults? The psalmist is looking at his own heart and taking a checklist, paying attention to his own ways, taking a look into his own heart, his own attitudes, his own ways. And he's saying to God, forgive my hidden faults. God is the only one who knows our hidden faults. Sometimes we may know those hidden faults. Sometimes it may not even pay attention to those hidden faults. And it's good for us to come to God and say, God, forgive my hidden faults. Show me in the areas that I'm missing. Show me the things that I'm doing that are not pleasing to you. Those are hidden faults. And the psalmist is saying, forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. Willful sins. Those are the sins that we say, I'm going to go ahead and do it anyway. Some people say, well, I'm going to do that, and then later on I'll ask for forgiveness. Now, that's a willful sin. You know it's a sin. You know it's not right, but you are fooling yourself and deceiving yourself. You're saying, okay, I'm going to do it anyway, and then I will ask for forgiveness later on. Now, that's a willful sin. And that's what the Bible is saying. Keep your servant also from willful sins. Then it says, may they not rule over me. Do not let willful sin or secret or hidden sins to rule over you. Do not let that happen. Because that's a dangerous place to be in as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because if you don't repent and if you don't confess that, it's going to pull you down on a path of destruction that you don't want to be. Because when you know you have sinned, you need to repent. And God will always forgive you. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you of all sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. When you know you have sinned, confess and repent and ask for forgiveness. But do not walk in willful sin. Don't make excuses for sin. but always confess and make it right with God. And that's the reason the psalmist is saying here, those sins, may they not rule over him. Do not let sin rule over you, because sin does not bring any kind of blessing. All this brings is heartache and destruction. You cannot play with sin and expect something good to happen. Good will never come out of sin. Never. And you have to realize that. Then he goes on to say, then will I be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. He's saying, God, forgive me for my hidden faults, my willful sins. I don't want them to rule over me. He's making things right before God. Every believer needs to do this on a regular basis. If you don't, there are things that are going to get piled up and piled up in your heart. After a while, you are going to get so cold in your spirit, and you become insensitive to sin and unrighteousness because you have not been quick to repent and make it right before God. And the psalmist is saying over here, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. That's what we need to pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart, what I think, my attitudes, my thoughts, my words, my actions, be pleasing to your Lord. It'll bring joy to his heart when he looks at us, that our lives will be pleasing to him. He sees us walking in his ways as his children. Continue on, it says, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. So this is how we keep our focus on God and keep our focus from the things that are going on in the world. The more we do this, the more we pay attention to these words, the Holy Spirit is speaking through these scriptures, the more of our understanding increases about God and his ways and what he wants to do in our lives. At the same time, it also moves us away from paying so much attention to the things that are going around us. We need to know what's going on around us, but we don't have to be so focused on them and get discouraged and upset and angry about that. Be so consumed by that, because you can get consumed with unrighteousness and darkness and sin and things that are going around us. It can consume you, but God is saying, yes, as righteous people, we have to have righteous anger. We should completely shun all wrong, and we should be people of righteousness, people of God's standard to the world. The way you do is by focusing on God and his greatness, and we can rise up and say, yes, what is happening, I don't like, but I know my God is greater than all this evil, greater than all this chaos and the mess that is going on. Therefore, I can stand firm and I can do what God has called me to do, to be a light and a salt in this messed up world. Let's go to Psalms 112 and let's read that. Psalms 112, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. And this is one way of focusing on his greatness. You say, praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. God wants us to delight, find delight in his commands. He wants us to delight in his word, that we so delight in following that and obeying that and putting that first place in our lives. A person that delights in his word is going to put that word first place in their lives and follow that and obey that, because they take delight in that. That's their heart's desire. And this pleases the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Verse 2, his children will be mighty in the land. Now that's a promise. A promise to the man who fears the Lord and finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. Do you want your children to be great and prosperous and blessed and find favor? Then be that kind of man, the scripture says. Fear the Lord first and delight in his commands by walking in them. As you do, those blessings are going to flow into your children and your grandchildren. So you are beginning a legacy for your children, for your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren, because God counts your righteousness, your acts of righteousness towards your children. So by fearing the Lord and walking in his commands, you are opening a door. Not only blessings for you, but for generations to come. You can leave a legacy of blessings to your family as you do that. Listen to what it says in verse 2. His children will be mighty in the land. You want to see your children mighty and prosperous and do well? Then follow what God is saying. Each generation of the upright will be blessed. Did you hear that? Each generation of the upright will be blessed. From now on, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, they're going to be blessed. God will see to that. When you are long gone and gone to be with the Lord, God will still keep that promise to your children, to your grandchildren, to your great-grandchildren, until Jesus comes. He will keep that promise. Then it goes on to say, verse 3, wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Your righteousness, your righteous acts will endure forever. It will be remembered not only on this earth, but it will be remembered in heaven, and you will get rewards for your walk of righteousness. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright. Even when the world is the darkest, still the light dawns on the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Even in the darkest of times, most evil times, God's light will be upon for that upright man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely. Good will come to you. Who conducts his affairs with justice. You are a person of justice. You don't like injustice, but you support justice. Surely he will never be shaken. This kind of person will never be shaken because they are on a solid ground. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. A righteous man does not have to fear of bad news. Why? God's protection is upon that man and his family. His heart is steadfast. Your heart doesn't have fear. A person like this always trusts in the Lord. Therefore, their heart is steadfast. They are not fearful. They are not anxious, but they are trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. If you want to be a person that has no fear, you have no fear of the present or the future, you have no fear of situations that you may be facing, you have no fear of those because your heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. That is a freedom that Christ has brought us believers, to have no fear. His peace, he's the Prince of Peace, so peace should control our hearts and our minds. Verse 8, it says, his heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. Those that come against you, if you believe and stand firm, in the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. God will defeat your enemies, and you will look in triumph on your foes. Now, whether it is a spiritual foe that comes against you, Satan and his evil forces, or it could be a human being, when all is said and done at the end, you will look on your enemies in triumph. Because the Bible says that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. So therefore, we should not fear when things come our way, but stand steadfast, trusting in the Lord, knowing that at the end, we will be triumphant. The day will come, you will look in triumph over your enemies, seeing them totally defeated by God. It's God who is going to do that, but you will see that triumph. Verse 9, he has scattered abroad his gift to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be lifted high in honor. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longing of the wicked will come to nothing. Did you hear that? You may think sometimes evil people might try to harm you, but you are a person of God. You walk in righteousness. You love God. You serve God. You are a just and a righteous person that follows God wholeheartedly. But sometimes you see people coming against you and you wonder why, and it seems like that they are winning. Now, according to the scriptures, that's not the way it is going to end. Listen to this scripture, verse 19. The wicked man will see and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. So, if somebody is coming against you, the scripture says their desires will come to nothing because God will confound them and bring them to nothing. But you are going to trust God to fight that battle, because the battle is not yours, but it is the Lord's. Therefore, you are going to be steadfast and stand firm, and God Himself will give you that victory. Okay, let's move on to Psalms 125. Those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be shaken, but endures forever. This is the reason we need to focus our eyes on the Lord and come to a place that we can totally trust in the greatness of our God and the goodness of our God and the mercy and the grace of our God, so that we become like Mount Zion that cannot be shaken, but endures forever. This kind of person will not be shaken by anything that comes their way. They're totally immovable because their trust is fully on God. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people, both now and forevermore. Now that's a promise. God will never leave us nor forsake us. He will always surround us with His protection, with His love, His grace, His mercy, and His goodness. Always. That's the kind of Father we serve. So we do not have to be fearful or anxious. The scepter of the wicked will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. Do you see wicked people, evil people running rampant in your nation or your city? They're lawless, they're godless, they're evil. But listen to what God has to say. The scepter of the wicked will not remain, their power will not remain over the land allotted to the righteous. Whatever the nation you live in, whatever the city you live in, that's allotted to you. That's your territory. And if you have people that are wicked and evil and lawless that are running around causing all kinds of havoc, the Bible says that wicked will not remain. The time will come, God will destroy them. And as a believer, when you see those things, you need to pray against those things. It's not going to automatically go away, but as a righteous person, you have every right to stand on God's word and pray against that kind of evil. And so God can disperse those wicked forces and bring peace and blessings to your region. And then continue on. Verse 4, it says, "Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, to those who are upright in heart. But those who turn to crooked ways, the Lord will banish them with evil doers." Now that's the end of those that are evil and crooked and lawless. So God gives in His word very clear distinction. The blessings that are going to follow the righteous and the punishment and the destruction that is going to come upon the wicked. God is a righteous God. He's always just. He's always right. But He has His own ways and He has own timing to do everything. Sometimes you look at things and you think evil people are getting away with things, but nobody's getting away with anything with God. Just because God doesn't act right then and there, that doesn't mean that God is not going to act. Whenever He acts, He's absolutely righteous and just. That's the reason we need to wait on the Lord. That's the reason Bible says, "Vengeance is mine and I will repay." Let's go to Psalms 37. This is how we focus on God, His greatness, His goodness. As we read the scriptures, we see how God works. His ways are so different than our ways and what we think that ought to be done. But in His wisdom and His knowledge, He does things so much better than we could ever do, because God knows all things. So let's read Psalms 37. "Do not fret because of evil men, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away." Now that's the future of the wicked man. If you see people that are living these kind of wicked lifestyles, that's their end. Nothing much to talk about. Verse 3. "Trust in the Lord and do good." When you see evil people prospering and doing well, and here you are struggling, and you wonder why that person, you know that person is not a good person, but you see them prospering and doing well. But God already said they will soon wither and they will be gone. But He's saying to the believer, trust in the Lord and do good. But you trust in the Lord and you do good. Even when you see other people are not doing the right thing, they're unrighteous, they're corrupt. But He said, don't take their ways, don't copy their ways. But He said, you trust in the Lord and do good. See, God always does good, and he's saying, you do good. I'll take care of that other person. I'll take care of all the other stuff. But you do good. Don't join them in doing the crooked things and the corrupt things like them. But you continue to do good, because there's a blessing in that. And he says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. See, the wicked never have safe pasture. They may think they're winning, but they really don't have any kind of blessings of God or the favor of God. But the righteous man can enjoy safety. That's what he's saying. Trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. He knows what desires of your heart and he will give it to you. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him and he will do this. See, always that word trust keeps coming. Commit your ways and trust him. Trust him and do good. The trust and doing good, trust and committing your ways, it works together. Trusting in the Lord and do good. Commit your ways and trust in the Lord. Verse 6, he will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when men succeed in their ways. See, God is saying, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. We are to wait patiently for him. Because God doesn't act when we want to. He acts when he wants to, when he thinks it's the right time. So he said, wait patiently for him. Do not fret or do not be upset when men succeed in their ways. He said, do not fret when you see evil people succeeding in their ways. Do not fret. That day is coming. When they carry out their wicked schemes, he said, don't fret. Refrain from anger and turn from wrath. He said, when you see that, refrain from anger and turn from wrath, because it is easy to get into that place. When you see unrighteousness and wicked men in power and doing evil things, as human beings, we can get angry, but God says, refrain from that. Because that's not going to help us. Because if your heart is full of anger, then we cannot be walking in the peace of God and the joy of the Lord, because it blocks that peace and the joy that we need to have in our lives. That's the reason he said, refrain from wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. So when you get into anger, then you want to strike back. And therefore, he's saying, it will lead to evil. So you're going to pay evil for evil. So that's why he's saying, refrain from anger and wrath, because you will be tempted to pay back evil. For evil men will be cut off. So even if you see things happening, God is saying evil men will be cut off. If God says they will be cut off, they are going to be cut off. But those who hope in the Lord will inherit the land, because they are not going to live forever. They're going to be cut off. But those who hope in the Lord inherit the land. A little while and the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. See, the wicked man's works and his life are short-lived. A little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look for them, they will not be found. But the meek will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. See, now God is saying, okay, the wicked will be no more, but that who trusted in God and wait patiently for him will inherit the land and enjoy great peace. Now that's a promise. Verse 12. The wicked plot against the righteous and gnash their teeth at them. But Lord laughs at the wicked, for he knows their day is coming. When the wicked plot against the righteous person and they pour out their evil and bash and try to attack the righteous, the Bible says the Lord laughs at the wicked. When the wicked are trying to throw their weight around, the Bible says the Lord laughs at them. Of course God can laugh at them, because God knows exactly what he's going to do. But we have to realize that. The wicked may be running around and are boasting and thinking that they are winning. But no, God is laughing at them, because God knows their day is coming. Verse 14, the wicked draw the sword and bend the bow to bring down the poor and the needy, to slay those whose ways are upright. But their swords will pierce their own hearts, and their bows will be broken. So whatever the wicked plan to do against the innocent and the righteous people, it's going to be brought to naught. God will not allow them to triumph over the righteous. Verse 16, better the little that the righteous have than the wealth of the many wicked, for the power of the wicked will be broken. but the Lord upholds the righteous. Sometimes you see evil people, wealthy and very prosperous, and then you see a righteous man having very little, but they are living a righteous life, a godly life, honorable life. The Bible says, for the power of the wicked will be broken. You may see wicked in great power and wealth, but that's going to be broken by God. He will break it and bring it down. But the Lord upholds the righteous, always. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord. Your good deeds, your way of life is known to the Lord. Nothing is wasted. You may not think that God is paying attention. God pays attention to every little detail of our lives. All our actions, everything that we do, are recorded in heaven, and He knows who we are. The days of the blameless are known to the Lord, and their inheritance will endure forever. In times of disaster, they will not wither. In the days of famine, they will enjoy plenty. That's the promise. We could do not have this promise. A righteous man is not going to go hungry. God will see to that they will be provided in the times of famine. But the wicked will perish. The Lord's enemies will be like the beauty of the fields. They will vanish like the smoke. The wicked borrow and do not repay, but the righteous give generously. Those the Lord blesses will inherit the land, but those He curses will be cut off. Whoever God blesses, they will be blessed and they will inherit the land. But the wicked that He curses will be cut off. Very simple. Now you see the difference between living a righteous life, living for God, and living for the devil. You can see a clear distinction in these scriptures. What happens to the righteous that lives for God, believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, and those that do not believe in God, that walk in evil ways? Verse 23, the Lord delights in the way of the man whose steps He has made firm. Though he stumbles, he will not fall. It shows that God is always watching over the person that obeying and walking in His ways, even though he may stumble, that man is not going to fall. God will always uphold the righteous, the godly man. I was young and now I am old, yet I have never seen the righteous forsaken or their children begging bread, because you have determined to walk righteously before God. And as a result, your children are blessed. Verse 26. They are always generous and lend freely. This is the righteous man. Their children will be blessed. Righteous man is always generous. They give generously. As a result, their children will be blessed. Verse 27. Turn from evil and do good. Then you will always live securely. For the Lord loves the just and will not forsake His faithful. They will be protected forever, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The offspring of the righteous will be blessed, but the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. Do you see the difference? These are all promises God gives to the people of God. But the offspring of the wicked will be cut off. The righteous will inherit the land and dwell in it forever. The mouth of the righteous man utters wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The law of his God is in his heart. His feet do not slip. The wicked lie in wait for the righteous, seeking their very lives. But the Lord will not leave them in their power or let them be condemned when brought to trial. Whenever the wicked attacks the godly, the scripture says that God is the one who will fight for the righteous. God is on their side. Wait for the Lord and keep His way. He will exalt you to possess the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. It continually says what God is going to do to the wicked. And it continually is saying, wait, I'm going to act at the right time, and you will see what I'm going to do to the godless and the wicked. I have seen a wicked and ruthless man flourishing like a green tree in his native soil. But he soon passed away and was no more. Though I looked for him, he could not be found. And it says, consider the blameless. There is a future for the man of peace. But all sinners will be destroyed. All sinners will be destroyed. That's God's word. They are going to be destroyed. The future of the wicked will be cut off. The salvation of the righteous comes from the Lord. He is their stronghold in time of trouble. The Lord helps them and delivers them. He delivers them from the wicked and saves them. And if God is our stronghold, we don't have to fear of any man. So as I have read all these scriptures, we see that by focusing on God, how we can keep our minds on Him and not be so caught up on the things that are going around, so that we can be built up and strengthened, so that we know how to pray for certain things in our midst, in our lives, also in our communities. Because when our focus is on God, He's going to show us how to pray for certain things and see things change. And God wants the people to have their focus on the right thing. By keeping your focus on God and His ways and His kingdom and what He's saying to you, will keep your mind on the right things and help you to become that strong believer He wants you to be. A steadfast, strong, immovable person. And those are the kind of believers God is looking to raise up in these end times, because this world needs people like that. So God is encouraging His people, the body of Christ, to pay attention to the scriptures. Read these scriptures. Build yourself up in God. And have such a deep relationship with Him that your eyes are on Him. You're always looking up to Him. And you derive your very strength, your faith, and everything you need for you to live this life in a victorious and a glorious realm on this earth. And fulfill your purpose God has for you before you leave this earth, as you leave a mark of God on those around you. Amen.